All right, thanks, Darren. They let me out of quarantine this week. Usually I'm way over across the street on North Campus. For those of you guys who don't know me, I'm Dan. I'm the youth minister here at FCBC. It's good to see you. It's been, well, I don't know, 9 months or so. Not that anyone's keeping count, I have been. But anyway, I'm glad to be here. This is going to be a less rare occurrence, as I will be here every week in a couple of weeks. Don't worry, I'm not preaching every week. You don't have to listen to me. Especially those of you guys on this side who had to listen to me for like 4 or 5 years. Yeah, don't worry. What I'd like for you guys to do before we kind of begin is I'd like to for you to turn with a neighbor, all right? Turn to someone next to you. Groups of two, three, it doesn't really matter. And what I'd like for you to do is to share a fun or a meaningful family tradition. Share something meaningful that has been passed down to your family, in your family. How did it start? What do you do? Just whatever it may be. Go ahead and just take a little bit of time and share that with someone next to you. All right? All right, hopefully you had a little bit of time to share. You know, every family has traditions that we develop, that we learn from our parents, that we pass down. Would anyone care to share their own, or if not their own, their neighbor's? You can share on their behalf. You don't have to ask their permission, don't worry about it. Anyone? I know this is weird, right? We're interacting. This is strange. Anyone want to share family tradition? So you guys just had 3 minutes of random conversation about not traditions. All right, well, let me share a couple of my own. Oh, is there someone? Oh, praise God. All right. Well, you don't have to stand up. It's all right. Wow. All right. So they go up to the Bay Area 4 times a year for the past 25 years? Oh, past 4 years. Okay. Oh, okay. That is a lot of times going up and down the five. Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. Let's thank him for sharing. Thank you. All right. I know there's probably plenty more. you know, we all have them, I'm sure. Just judging by the way you were talking with each other, I know that this is probably a lot of weird stuff has come up, right? A couple of my traditions that I want to share with you really quickly this morning. One was started, I think it's just a Chinese thing, or I don't know if it's an all Chinese thing, or if it's just kind of like my family's kind of area of China. But every Chinese New Year, we have dumplings. Anybody else had dumplings for Chinese New Year? No? Oh my God, am I the only Chinese person here? All right, some of you. So we do this thing, and it's not just our family. I looked it up. There are other people who do this too. But my grandpa, we would make the dumplings by hand, and we would go to my grandpa's house to have dumplings. And what he would do is he would wash a dime, you know, 10-cent piece, and he would put it inside one of the dumplings before he cooked them all, right? And so he'd cook all of the, he'd put it in, we'd cook them all and all that stuff, and we'd pass them out so everyone got the same number of dumplings from that batch. And whoever got it was supposed to be like extra lucky or whatever for the year, right? Chinese superstition, that's kind of how it goes, right? But I remember as a kid, I was always really mad. I was a very sore loser, and I was always very mad that I never got it. So I think one year they just caved and they just gave it to me. But ever since then, I've also never gotten it again. So I think the Lord is just like, no, you're done. So it's been 34 years, and I've gotten it one time. My family is only like about a dozen people. So you would think that at some point, I would have gotten it at least once more. But I don't know. Anyway, another family tradition I had, it started maybe about 9 years ago. And this is actually, it comes out of kind of a difficult point in my life. See, I got married September 5th, 2009, and 3 months later, my dad died. And he was the one who had officiated our wedding. He had, you know, and so we were, you know, Elsa and I, we were newlyweds, and we were just, you know, newlyweds. We're happy. We're, you know, enjoying our life together. And then my dad passed away suddenly from a heart attack three months later to the day. And it's 3 weeks before Christmas. And so we're, you know, in the midst of all the funeral preparations and planning and all that other stuff, we kind of look at each other, you know, my mom, my sister, Elsa and me, we kind of look at each other like, what are we going to do, right? It's kind of weird to have Christmas dinner when we are just completely wrecked. Completely wrecked, completely ruined. And so so Christmas morning comes around and we just say, hey, let's just go to McDonald's, right? And so every Christmas morning since then, I don't know how it started, or that is how it started, but ever since then, kind of without really planning it out or really thinking about it, every Christmas morning, we go to McDonald's. I'll find a drive-through, or, you know, there's usually one that's open in the area, and then, you know, we'll just pick it up and we'll just have hash browns together in the morning. You know, and it's just one of those traditions that just kind of started and we've been doing for the past several years now. You know, for a lot of you guys in here, many of you are parents, right? And I bet you can think of things that have been passed down to you, right? That have been passed down to you, or that you've been passing down to your kids, right? And for all of us, regardless of whether we're parents or not, we can think of things that have been passed down to us, right? The traditions, maybe it's a useful skill that you learned, right? Like a musical instrument or something like that. Maybe you pass down things, or things have been passed down to you, like rooting for a local sports team, go Angels. I know, right? I'm also a Clippers fan. It's been nice knowing you. right? Maybe a passion for a certain kind of food, maybe a skill or an activity or something like that, right? Within the past year, I've been able to really pass down to Elsa's great annoyance my very, very deep love and passion for all things Star Wars. Not episodes 1 through 3, we don't talk about those, but episodes 4 through 6, I've been able to pass those things down to my kids, especially to my son Nathaniel. You know, there isn't a day that goes by that we're not running around with our lightsabers, getting hit in very uncomfortable places. Or, you know, my kids, not just Nathaniel, but all my kids, they all try to like force choke me like Darth Vader, right? And I'm just like, that, the force isn't real, guys. Yeah, of course it is, ah! You know, and I'm like, okay, all right, right? You know, hey, look, Elsa, nerd is in now, all right? Don't worry, our kids are not gonna be bullied for this. But see, this love for Star Wars is something that was actually passed down to me from my dad. When he was living in Taiwan, that's where he grew up, he remembered going to the theaters and watching it, right, in 1977 when it first came out, and just being so amazed by it. And so when I was a kid, he wanted to pass down that love of Star Wars to me. He wanted to make sure that I enjoyed the same things that he did. Right, so he bought the VHS box set from Costco, and we wore those tapes out, and when they re-released it in the theaters, you know, he took me, because he wanted me to experience the same thing that I got, that he experienced when he was younger, right? To sit in the theater and to watch it on the big screen. Now, I think about this, and I think about all the other things that I want to pass down to my kids. You know, I have a deep love for fantasy novels. I'm a huge nerd, right? Disney music, because how do you grow up in SoCal and not love Disney? Well, I don't know. Some people don't. Magic the Gathering, which is a nerd game that I play with my nerd friends, some of whom are here at church, and a whole bunch more, right? How fun would it be, right? And parents, you guys know this. How fun would it be if our kids shared the same interests as us, valued the same things as us, so that we could do them together, right? Kids, all of us are kids, right? How much fun would it be if our parents valued and enjoyed the same things we did so that we could enjoy them together? Yet there's something far more important, far more valuable that my parents passed down to me that I hope to pass down to my kids. And that's my faith in Jesus. Let me go ahead and pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who have come before us, who have passed down your goodness, your grace, your love to us, so that we can do the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go ahead and read our passage for this morning. I don't want to, whoever's up there, if you guys can control it for me, just because I don't want to read and swipe at the same time, so thank you. Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 8, all right? And what I'd like for you to do is, as you listen to this, hear it as if it's coming from me, right? Because this is the psalmist talking to his people, all right? This is the psalmist talking to his people. My people, hear my instruction. Listen to the words from my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works that he has performed. He established a testimony in Jacob and set up a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children, so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Then they would not be like their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation whose heart was not loyal and whose spirit was not faithful to God. The word of the Lord. You know, I think about the legacy of faith that I will pass down to my kids. Do they know that I love Jesus? Do they know that he is the Lord and master of my life? Do they know how precious, how meaningful the Bible is to me? Do they ever see me read it? My kids quote movies all the time. Can they quote scripture? Do they know how important, how central prayer is to me? Do I show them? Or scarier still, are these things actually true and real in my life? Or not? Right? Every generation hopes the next one will be better off, right? You probably heard it from your parents, right? Oh, we worked so hard, we sacrificed so much, right? So that you could have, what, a better life. So that you would be better off. But what I've observed is that so many times better off usually means more opportunities for your education, for your career, right? Financial stability, security, not having to worry about the next paycheck. But what about their faith? What about their relationships with Jesus? Do you and I have the same hopes for the generation that comes after us, that their faith in Jesus will be even stronger and more vibrant even than ours? And look, this isn't just a sermon for parents, all right? This isn't just about families and those kinds of things. This passage doesn't talk about family, the nuclear biological family or whatever it is, right? This passage is not talking about that. Verse 3 says, when it talks about what our fathers have passed down to us, it's not parents, it's about an entire generation of God's people. Generations of God's people. Of which we are one. Right? Do we as the adults of FCBC, whatever generation you may be, have the same hopes for the generation that follows us here at this church? Do we make the same effort to pass down what we know, what we have experienced of God, to ensure that the next generation of our church will, like it says in verse 7, right? So that they would put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. In other words, that they will trust, that they will know, that they will obey God. Right? If you've ever heard the word discipleship, that's what this is. Passing it on to the next generation. How we help someone else to trust, to know, and to obey God. Right? But what does passing it down look like, right? What does discipleship look like? How do we do it? Go ahead and take a look at this passage, the whole passage, right? You don't have to read it or anything. I just want you to note, really quickly, just the orange-ish. Right? The words that are not white. It says this, declare, speak, not hide, tell, teach, rise and tell. This is how the next generation of God's people here at this church at FCBC will come to faith. This is how generations that have come before us have come to faith. This is how we ourselves have come to faith. Someone has declared it to us, spoken it to us. They have not hidden it from us. They have told us. They have taught us. They have risen up and told us about the glories and the wonders of God through Jesus. You know, we look at the Great Commission a lot, and we view it often as a call to go and to be on missions. But that's only part of it, right? Matthew 28, 19 through 20 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," right? That's the evangelism part. When they become believers. And then the next verse says, teaching them to observe. Our job is not just to teach them. It's teaching them to observe, to obey, to follow everything that I have commanded you. Or as it says in verse 7, that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. It's passing down what we know, what we've experienced of Jesus to those who come after us. 14 days from today, on August 26th, I got a countdown. The youth will be here in this building, in this room, sitting next to you, worshiping next to you, serving alongside you. They'll be watching you, not in a creepy way, I hope, but they will be learning from you. They will be imitating you. What will you pass down to them? But this message isn't just about this combined worship service. It's about more than that. It's about the culture here of God's people at FCBC. You know, we say, sometimes we even boast about it, right? That we are a multi-generational church, right? We've got 66 years and counting of history. What a wonderful legacy that is, right? We celebrate the faithfulness of the generations past and how their faithfulness and their love for God and their devotion to this church has ushered us to where we are now, that we have passed down. Some of you guys literally grew up here, for so many of you. Right? And some of you who are younger, your parents grew up here. We spent so many of our formative years here at this church. And for those of us who have, and I didn't, but I grew up at a church very much like this one, right? We are the product of those who have passed down their faith to us. Or maybe not directly to us, but to the generation before us who then passed it down to us. So my question for you is this. Who do you pass down your faith to here at FCBC? In this community of God's people? Whether you're 8 years old, 18 years old, 118 years old, who are you passing down your faith to? Who are you helping to trust, to know, and to obey God? Well, look, obviously I'm going to plug shamelessly youth ministry here. All right? If you want an opportunity to do that, come and serve in youth ministry. Or children's, right? The video was great. Because our ministries, right, Brian and me, children's and youth ministry literally is discipleship. That's what youth ministry is. We exist to pass down our faith to the next generation, to those who will come after us. And I say that not just as a pastor here, but also as a father here. Right? Right? We exist to pass down. Right? Verse 4 says, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might and his the wondrous works that he has performed. And the purpose, right? So that they might put their confidence in God, trust God, and not forget God's works, that they would know God, right? And that they would keep his commands, that they would obey God, that they would follow God. You know, those of you guys who attend Sunday school during first session, if you really want to learn the word, come and teach. Because there's nothing like having a freshman boy ask you a question to which you don't know the answer. You are challenged then to have to learn that answer so you can teach them that answer. So you can pass down this little, small little thing of, it's just a small little part of what it means to follow Jesus. And we need the help. We're pretty short on teachers this coming year. Or pass it down to our youth on Friday nights, right? When they have fellowship groups, we're starting discipleship more intensely this year. Come be a part of that. Or on Sunday afternoons in HSMT, right? Helping our high schoolers learn what it means to live missionally. What it means to always be on mission for Jesus. I want to shout out Byron and Elaine Chang, who did it for years. I remember when I first got here, they were leading it, and they had three young kids, and they lived way out in Diamond Bar, and then they moved to even further, out to Orange County. And they stayed Sunday afternoon, even though it was tiring and exhausting, because that was the ministry that God had called them to do, that, and they were just being obedient, to pass it on. Some of you guys, you remember, you sat there in HSMT, you were a part of it during that time. Right? Pass it down at camp, right? This last week, we just got back. Right? We got back last Sunday from camp. And look, I got to talk to the youth camp speakers, right? The middle school speaker, the high school speaker. And the thing I love and I cherished most about my conversations with them is that I got to brag about FCBC. I got to boast about our church. Not in like a prideful or arrogant kind of way, but just to see, look at how many people, how counselors, right? All you guys who are counselors, all you guys who have served faithfully, not just this past year, but in years and decades past, right? Who have been counselors and staffers and directors and nurses and drivers and who knows what else, right? To bless our youth, to bless our children, who invest into their lives. Maybe you can remember someone who has invested into your life when you were young. But I also want to be clear, this isn't just about children's or youth ministry, all right? Clearly, I am here to shamelessly plug youth ministry because I don't really get a chance to. And the new year's starting, and we really need new teachers and counselors for Friday nights and all this other stuff, right? But this is not just about, hey, come and serve in my ministry or Brian's ministry. This is more than that. This is bigger than that. I'm not just here to ask you to help make my life a little bit easier. What this is about is passing our faith down at our church, at FCBC, through every generation. Someone needs to be discipling the counselors and teachers who serve in children's and youth ministry. Someone needs to be discipling the parents who, maybe you're sending your first kid off to college this year. Or maybe you just got rid of your last one and you're an empty nester now. What do I do? Someone needs to be there to walk with you through that. Someone needs to disciple people like me, right? I'm kind of a young-ish parent. My kids are pretty small. And for those of us who are parents, right, we got young kids. I know, they take up all our time. They take up so much of our attention. But guess what? We need to be discipling young couples, young single people too, about what that possible next stage in their life might look like. But even if it doesn't, what it means just to grow up. I love how we have people like Pete and Celia who host the young adult small group. Again, I get to brag about the church. It's so amazing, right? They host a young adult small group, not made up of their peers, but made of people who are younger, who are in a stage of life that they've already lived through. And that they've opened up their home and they've welcomed into their lives. I've actually gotten to talk with some of those young adults in that small group. And in those conversations, they've shared with me about how much they love the chaos of the Kumbrapan household. I don't mean that in a very nice way, Pete, sorry. Right? But how they love having the kids run around and just be, you know, run around and screaming and probably even fighting and all that stuff just as part of it. And how they get to live life together with Pete and Celia when they meet for small groups. They get to live that life together with them. They get to learn, not just by someone telling them what it looks like to be a family that follows God, but by someone showing them through their lives what it looks like to be a family that loves God and serves his people. And we do the same thing, Elsa and I, with our home. For the youth, we have prayer meeting every Wednesday. And we open it up to them so that they can see us, our kids, jumping around, banging on things, getting in fights with each other. They see how we worship together as a family. They see how we discipline our children, as, you know, together. They see, you know, and get to play with our kids. Our kids, it's such a valuable time for us too, because we realize that our kids get to play with their uncles and aunties and big brothers and big sisters here at this church. And then Elsa and I don't have to get whacked with lightsabers anymore because they got new targets. Seniors, you got your pick of the litter. Pick whatever generation you want. So many have come after you that you get, that you can invest in. Every generation here at FCBC, every generation has someone to whom we can pass down what it says in verse 4, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, his wondrous works that he has performed. That's what the psalmist here says. Pass it down. Pass down what has been passed down to us. Keep that going. If you're not sure how, if maybe you've never really had someone disciple you, if you don't really know what that looks like, then just start small. Pick one person. Just pick one person. And have a cup of coffee with them and a conversation. Right? Ask them about their families. Ask them about their jobs, their hobbies, their dreams, their struggles. Share stories. And I know we all have stories of how God has walked with you through your life, how he has held you up when you were struggling, or how he has given you a great blessing that was completely unexpected and unlooked for. Help them see how God has been present, has been around, has been available in your life, so that they too will trust, will know, and will obey God the way that you have, or even better than we have. It was an old saying, at least to me, it's an old saying. It says, God has no grandchildren. God has no grandchildren. God does not automatically consider us Christians just because our parents were. I think about that for my own sister, who doesn't walk with the Lord. And God doesn't automatically consider the next generation to be Christians just because we were. I think about my own children. God's kingdom does not reproduce by birth. We don't get to inherit it. That was the mistake that the people of Israel made. They thought, hey, just because I was born into the kingdom of Israel, right? Just because I'm born into one of these tribes, right? That makes me Israel. Romans 9 through 11, Paul says, no, that is not the case. Not all who are born into Israel are true Israel. Because true Israel is not an Israel of birth. It is an Israel of faith. God's people, God's kingdom reproduces not by birth, but by faith. You cannot be born into the kingdom of God. It must be passed down to you. So that's all I want to ask you guys to do. Pass it down at our church. Not just within your families, with your children, if your parents. Find someone else, too, outside of your family. Someone else who needs it. You may not even know that they need it. I've been blessed with parenting advice and marriage advice from people that I've gotten to know here at this church. People like Byron and Elaine. You know, Pastor Chris told me, hey, when your kids are small, win every battle. I've been trying. They fight dirty. But about what that means to set them up for understanding obedience and authority and what it means to obey God, not me. So this is my call. This is my cry. This is my hope. To each and every single one of you. Because we all have someone who's coming after us. And the kingdom of God will always have someone coming after us until Jesus returns. So I want to close with an appeal, and I'm just going to be reading our passage one more time. FCBC, hear my instruction. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will declare wise sayings. I will speak mysteries from the past, things we have heard and known and that our fathers have passed down to us. We will not hide them from their children, but will tell a future generation the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his might, and the wondrous works which he has performed. He established a testimony in FCBC and set up a law in FCBC which he commanded our fathers to teach to their children so that a future generation, children yet to be born, might know. They were to rise and tell their children so that they might put their confidence in God and not forget God's works, but keep his commands. Pass it down, church. Pass it down. Let's pray.